Before Jesus hung on the cross, and listen to how appropriately it identifies what he was going to endure. It says, "My servant grew up in the Lord's presence. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we didn't care. Yet it was our weakness that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." I mean, God himself was aware of all the cruelty that would be visited upon his son by his enemies and by his very close friends. Wasn't shocked by it. And so was Jesus, as his follower Matthew notes. And Matthew recounts that the very first time that someone confessed their belief that he was a Christ, Jesus said that he began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. And that is a profound tragedy too. That even religious people are not safe. Sometimes they're mean as hell. And that is a tragedy, folks. That he would be killed, but on the third day he'd be raised from the dead. You see, Jesus, he knew that this day we'd commemorate right now, Good Friday, that it was coming. I mean, I don't know, could you sleep soundly with this knowledge? I think it'd be terribly hard for me. Could you continue to sacrifice and serve others if you knew that it would end in your betrayal, in your own murder by them? Could you have washed their feet during your final meal, knowing they'd all be gone by the end of the night? Knowing that one of them would sell you out to those people who would murder you. And that one of your closest friends would deny that he even knew you. How could he wash their feet? How can we each find the strength to go on loving others knowing that they will hurt us? I mean, one key can be found in Isaiah 53 and verse 2. And it's right at the very first sentence. It says, "My servant grew up in the Lord's presence." Circle those words, "in the Lord's presence." You see, this statement, I believe, reveals the key to Jesus' ability to endure all the hurts and the wrongs of others. Jesus was consistently present to his Heavenly Father. That's what this series, I pray, has been all about. We've talked about the importance of developing a consistent conversation with God, of learning to become a first responder in prayer when things both good and bad happen to us. Jesus was present to his Father, and it's seen when he defends himself after performing a miracle on the Jewish Sabbath. Of course, his enemies said, "Oh, he's working. See, we told you he's not a good guy." It says that Jesus defended himself. He said, "My Father is working straight through, even on the Sabbath. So am I." So Jesus explained himself at length. He said, "I'm telling you this straight. The Son can't independently do a thing. Only what he sees the Father doing. What the Father does, the Son does. The Father loves the Son and includes him in everything he's doing." How do you think Jesus got included in everything the Father was doing? I think he was looking intently to see what His Heavenly Father was doing. He was listening intently. He had a consistent conversation with His Heavenly Father. Now, how many of you would like to have that clear a sense of what God is doing and of what you're supposed to be doing? Anybody else? Absolutely. I think the key is to grow up in the Lord's presence. It's to make yourself present to God, who is always present to us. If we sense God is distant, the problem really is usually on our end. You know what I'm talking about? You see, Luke clues us in on how to do that. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, it says that as often as possible, Jesus withdrew to out-of-the-way places for prayer. That gets me to thinking, do I try to get away with God and converse with God as often as possible? And am I disciplined enough to kind of get into an out-of-the-way place? Or am I so busy and present to the things around me, the people around me, and the enticements around me, that I really never get alone? You see, Jesus, He was disciplined about getting alone, wasn't He? Very disciplined. Went out of His way to get in and out of a place. And He talked to His Heavenly Father about everything. That's how He handled hurts. That's how He was able to live with advance notice of everything that was going to happen on Good Friday. And all the harm that others would dish out to Him, some of whom were very close to Him. See, the clearest picture we get of how Jesus handled hurts with prayer is found in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. And it says, when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified Him, along with the criminals, one at His right, the other on His left. Jesus said, Father, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And they divided up His clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at Him. They said, He saved others. Let Him save Himself, if He is the Christ, the Chosen One. I don't know about you, but could you handle that? I've been thinking about that for a couple of weeks. Could I handle the profound humiliation and the ridicule and the callousness? Jesus shows us that when hurts come, I pray. Because that's what He did on the cross. Father, forgive them. He has this open conversation for everyone to hear. Why He couldn't get away to an out-of-the-way place, could He? He was kind of stuck where He was, literally. And so we all have the wonderful privilege of hearing this intimate discussion He has with His Father. Let me give you five practical principles for handling hurts in prayer. Five principles. The first one is this: acknowledge my feelings. Acknowledge my feelings. I don't know about you, but when people hurt me, I usually become pretty angry. Anybody else like that? You know, Jesus acknowledged His feelings from the cross for everyone to hear. And let me show you this. It says, at the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, about 3 p.m., Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Jesus was quoting Psalm 22. But if it's an honest scriptural quote, it tells me that Jesus is being very honest about His feelings with His Father in prayer. You ever feel abandoned by God? Anybody else? You know what? Jesus shows us that you're in good company. When you feel like God is distant, and your conversations are kind of bouncing off a glass ceiling, guess what? Jesus understands those feelings. Jesus, it seems, had those feelings. He understands your situation. But the reality is this: in prayer, I can haul my hurts to God if I make prayer my first response to others' offenses. Jesus shows us we should go to God when we feel hurt. He's the best therapist that you can have, isn't he? Acknowledge your feelings. Honestly admit your pain, your doubts, your anger, your despair. And ask God. Ask God to help you sort through those things. And ask Him to heal you. Ask Him to help you control your anger. See, the Bible says that God's Spirit does not make cowards out of us. The Spirit gives us power and love and self-control. You see, God offers power. He offers love we don't have for others. He offers the ability to control our anger if we'll acknowledge it and the offense that caused it in an honest conversation to God. Second thing I want to point out to you is that we should ask God to show me my role. Acknowledge my feelings. Ask God to show me my role, if any, in provoking the hurt. Look at my part in provoking the pain that comes upon me. You see, King David, I think, is our best example here. He's our best example. I love this. When hurting, he admitted it to God. He said, I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. You ever prayed a prayer like that? Man, that is point blank honest, isn't he? And then he says, search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. Show me my part, God. Show me how I might have contributed to this situation in some way that is sinful. And he says, and lead me in the way of everlasting. See, Jesus gives us an order for prayer about our pain. And it's in the Lord's Prayer. He says, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, forgive us our sins. I like that. He says, man, you want to talk about forgiveness? Deal with your own junk first. There's an order here. Jesus says, deal with your own junk first before you start bringing up others to God. He says, pray this way: forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. You see, owning my part by admitting my faults is critical to clearing up conflicts. You see, God traffics in truth, not in denial and rationalization and minimization and projection and blame. God doesn't traffic in those things. And these are how we give the devil a way to defeat us. You see, Satan is the father of lies and can control our lives in the areas where we lie to ourselves and refuse to recognize the truth, what's really going on. And we do that a lot, don't we? Which is why God speaks to us in these words in 1 John chapter 1. He says, if we claim that we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and are not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins, then God is faithful and He's just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. See, the Bible says that the human heart is wicked and deceitful. But God knows our hearts. And honestly admitting my role, if any, is how I live in the truth. And when I do that, when you do that, God can change your character. God can heal your heart. The third tip on handling hurts in prayer is to release my right to revenge. Hello. This is a tough one, isn't it? Because we all hang on to those IOUs, don't we? I mean, we have a tendency to react with revenge or with revengeful impulses when we're hurt. Why? Why do we do that? I think it's because God has hardwired us with a sense of justice or proportionality in our hearts. And that God-given sense of justice is what Satan can warp and use to drive us to react in kind, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth, to others' hurts. To hurt them back. To teach them a lesson. To make them feel our pain. You ever had those impulses? You ever acted on them? Absolutely. You see, Paul in the Bible says, I love what he says. He says, hate what is wrong, hold on to what is good, be patient in trouble, and listen to what he says, and keep on praying. Circle that. Man, when people bring trouble on you, Paul says, keep on praying. Become a first responder in prayer. He says, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. That's a tough thing to do, isn't it? Do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. And he says, dear friends, never take revenge. Hate the wrong, but don't hate the wrongdoer or become one. He says, leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals of shame on their heads. I love what he says here. He says, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil, how?
By doing good.
See, like King David, Paul, his constant conversations with God developed in his unreserved trust in God's character and God's power. You see, prayer enabled David and Jesus and Paul to each let go of their right to revenge and rely on God's justice to let go and let God. And it gave them the strength and self-control to give mercy and grace instead of justice. You see, justice is getting what you deserve. And I'm glad that God does not give us justice. Because we all deserve hell.
Amen.
God gives us mercy. That means He does not give us the bad that
we deserve.
And God gives us grace, and that's giving us the good we don't deserve. God's justice was met on Good Friday. When Jesus died for our sins, God Himself met that need. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? And that's what we celebrate. The fourth tip is this, commit to forgive. Commit to forgive. Jesus says that as we have been forgiven, so too we should forgive. And He goes on to warn us in these words. He says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. I don't know about you, but that's one of the scariest scriptures in the Bible. Anybody else think that way? It's like, whoo, man. And when I think about hanging on to grudges, like my mind goes back to that scripture. You see, forgiving those who hurt you, it's not an option. It's a mandate. It's a requirement if you want to receive forgiveness. You can't opt out of this one, folks. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they just don't know what they're doing. You see, to forgive is to cease to be angry. It's to cancel the debt. It's to refuse to bring up someone's offense again to use it against them. And you know what? I think only God can enable you to do that when someone hurts you, especially if they hurt you in a horrible way. I think that kind of forgiveness takes supernatural strength. Don't you think so?
Yes.
The great news is that God's strength, it's just a request away. And here's where prayer is so important. You can always receive strength from God to act like God. When others hurt me, commit to forgive. In doing so, I choose to act like God. And I access the power of God. I choose to live in the love of God. And I'm living for the pleasure of God. And when I choose to do that, when you choose to do that, you can rely on the power of God. Jesus often withdrew, Luke says, to lonely places and pray. And the power of God was present for him. See, when I pray, I access God's power. God will always give me the power to do what He wants me to do and tells me to do, and the power to act like Him. And the last point is this. Ask God to help me reconcile. How many of you can say that reconciliation is the first thing on your mind when someone hurts you? Anybody? Not the first thing on my mind. It's usually the last thing that crosses my mind, if I'm going to be honest about it, when others wound me. You know what? Acting to reconcile, it's sacrificial, isn't it? It requires us to lay down our lives a little bit. To sacrifice our indignation and our impulse for justice. Or our desire for revenge. It forces us to face our offender and lovingly confront. Man, and that is sacrifice. And many of us, as Christ followers, we're not willing to do that. We hold on to our hurts. We harbor bitterness and resentment and envy. Or we resort to gossip and backbiting and slander. Or we cut bait on people and sever off our relationships with them. And we have this carnage behind us when we handle hurts the wrong way. Because it's sacrificial to act to reconcile when someone hurts you. But you know what? God is all about reconciliation. And so too is Good Friday, this day that we commemorate. And all of the horror of the hurt that Jesus endured, it's all about reconciliation. That's what Paul says. It's in the last scripture I want to share with you. It says, God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were His enemies, separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now He's reconciled you to Himself through the death of Christ in His physical body. As a result, He has brought you into His presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him. Without a single fault. That blows me away. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. That's your part and my part. We stand firmly in this truth when we act to reconcile. When we choose to forgive those who hurt us. And we don't stand in this truth when we give into that hurt. And we harbor hatred and bitterness and resentment. When we engage in gossip and slander and backbiting. Or when we sever relationships. It's not handling hurts God's way, folks. God has a better way. God has Jesus' way. He says, don't drift away from the assurance that you received when you heard the good news. You see, on the cross, Jesus saw the root of all the wrongs that others had done to Him. He saw it on its most hideous and global scale. It's lodged in every one of our hearts, isn't it? The heart of every human that ever lived, that ever will live, that's living right now. Lodged in your heart, in my heart. Yet Jesus chose to reconcile us to Himself and His Heavenly Father by laying down His life in the most significant way. By dying for us. In the movie Fireproof, have you ever seen that movie? You know, Caleb, he's embittered to his wife, toward his wife. And his father responds to Caleb's complaints about her with these words. He says, "You can't give what you haven't received." So the question is, have you received God's forgiveness? Have you been reconciled to Him through trusting in His Son as your Savior and giving Him leadership of your life? If you haven't, you're still living as an enemy of God. If you're in charge, you're a rebel. You need to understand that. And you need to settle that issue. You need to settle that issue by yielding your life to Jesus Christ, by admitting your flaws and faults and failures, by choosing to believe that He really was who He said He was, God's one and only Son, and that what He did on the cross has got you covered. And you need to invite Him to enter your heart and lead your life. If that happens to you, then Good Friday really is a Good Friday. In fact, it's a great Friday for you. And you can do it with a simple prayer of commitment. It goes like this: Father, I admit that I've been living for myself rather than for You. And as such, I'm an enemy of You. Forgive me for this. I've got plenty of flaws and faults and failures. I've done lots to offend You. And I thank You for sending Jesus, Your one and only Son, to pay that penalty when He died on the cross. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for these things that I've done. And I invite You to come into my life and lead my life from this day forward. I purpose to follow You the rest of my days. If you do that, folks, and you are, that's the first step toward being a Christ follower. And I want you to know that if you've made that decision, you can have that assurance that Paul writes about. It begins with a commitment of your will to trust in Jesus and to yield your life to His leadership. If you've done that, I want you to take that Discover card that's inside your program, and I just want you to put on the back of it, just click here, X that, "I put my trust in Christ today." Now what? I mean, I couldn't think of a better day to place your trust in Jesus than on the day that commemorates His death for you and I. And so if you've done that, we'll collect these at the end. Just pop them in a box or leave them on the end of the row. We'll be sure to follow up with you. We want to coach you. But you can't give what you've not received, and that's the way to do it. You receive it first. But you can choose to withhold what you've received. And that's how we abuse God's grace and mercy. When we refuse to forgive others, when we refuse to handle those hurts in prayer and act like God to our enemies. And you've missed the point of Good Friday if you choose to do that. My prayer is that if you're a Christ follower and this day finds you harboring some resentment or bitterness in your heart, or having engaged in gossip or backbiting or slander about someone that you have a hurt with, rather than going to that person, laying down your life, and lovingly confronting them, my prayer is that you'll change. That you'll adopt Jesus' strategy. That you'll act like Jesus acted. And that you'll access the grace and the mercy that are there and available for you. Because if you do, you'll experience that freedom and the healing that comes with acting like God, like Jesus. I just want to close in prayer. We're going to button it up right now. And if that's you, I just really want you to invite to join us in just an honest conversation with God. Father, I recognize that I have not handled hurts that I'm holding Your way. Father God, I just want to acknowledge my feelings to You. I have a lot of anger and bitterness and resentment toward this person or persons. And I just want to be honest with You about it. I invite You to search my heart as David did and show me my role, my part in this conflict or problem, Lord. And I ask that You'd change me, or I've been a contributor to this. Father God, I release my right to revenge. And I choose to forgive that person or persons. And God, I'm asking that You would help me to act like Jesus. To act to reconcile. And to confront and to restore harmony with that person or persons. And I trust in Your strength, in Your power, in Your love this day. Amen.